You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia ora te whānau, kei te whakarongo mai nei ki te reo irirangi pōhō. You're on BFM Breakfast. We've got the mighty Mokotron in the studio and armed with two beautiful new songs to play for us. So we're going to get stuck into one before we have a bit of a chat. This is Waiera. Waiera. Well, I'm saying it wrong, am I? Waiera? Yeah, cool. I'm getting a thumbs up there. So we're going to have a listen to this and then we'll have a bit of a kōrero afterwards. You're on BFM.
I'm already on my
This is brand new from Mokotron. Waerea. That is a special tune. Mokotron, kia ora. Welcome to the studio. So nice to have you up here in person, because we've had some kōrero on the phone about the work you've been doing in recent years, but it's really nice to see you and have a chat and hear some brand new songs ahead of a very special time for you, which we'll get stuck into in a second. How are you going?
Yeah, pai ana. Tēnei te mihi kia kaurua nā tua hine ara ki, kia tāmaki whānui, nā mana whenua, tēnei te mihi aroha. Yeah, really happy to be here in person.
Yeah, hard. Yeah. Feels special, eh? It's been a weird couple of years, and it's nice to get back into some sort of, like, you know, big quote marks, normal times.
Absolutely.
Out there seeing friends, gigging. This is what we're talking about today. A very exciting thing you're doing down in Ototahi, lucky old Christchurch, is getting to see the first ever live Mokotron set. So that's a pretty special project. How's the process of creating that set looked like for you? Is this the first time that you've ever kind of tried to take your studio things and make it into a live performance? Or?
Yeah, totally.
Wow.
Yeah, so that'll be the not my first live performance. I've done probably thousands of hours of performance under other projects, but first time as Mokotron. So, yeah, pretty scary, you know, like it's very much a studio project. So trying to figure out how that translates live has taken months. And that's really why I picked the Christchurch gig, because they gave me 4 months to prepare, which might just be enough. And I think also just, I don't like doing things the way other people do them.
Yeah.
And I do want to buzz people out. Mm. Like, that's my main kaupapa, is buzz people out. Like, is this real? Am I? So
yeah, yeah.
I think, yeah. So much of it's been trying to go for the buzz factor. So, like, half the set's going to be me rapping in te reo Māori with a vocoder.
Whoa.
And then the other half is me just playing pūoro live over massive drums and bass. So it's, yeah. And then the middle section. I don't know if you know the activist Emi Rākete. So just, I got her on a track, my cousin.
Sick.
and so it's a song talking about police violence, so that's kind of the tune in the middle. So,
oh my god,
I'm just excited. Yeah,
that is going to be amazing. Yeah. They don't know what's going to hit them down there yet.
Yeah,
tell us a little bit about, like, who helped put this together, because as you said, like, getting that good, like, 4 to 5 month lead in time to put on a show is actually a really special thing, and gives you way more freedom, I think, as an artist to think about what you want to do, not feel rushed, not feel that kind of pressure, just have a nice deadline that you can see in the horizon a wee bit.
It's been pretty essential. That's why I haven't been able to book gigs in Auckland, because people give me 1 week to prepare, and I was like, nah, I need at least
sorry,
four.
Sorry, mate.
But that's just the homie Keepsakes. I mean, I've just got a lot of respect for Keepsakes. Just someone I look up to as someone who's doing amazing stuff, and he's, you know, he's one of those people with his own vision. So I guess I always had a list of people who I'd take gig bookings off. But then I had another criteria that I needed several months to prepare, and it needed to be in a cave.
Yeah.
And so so no one's met those criteria. So I was like, cool, I don't need to do any gigs. And then he came through. Like,
I've,
like,
got a cave for you.
You're on my list of five people. You've got a cave, and you're giving me 5 months. I had to say yes. But yeah, that's just shout out to the homie. We've been trying to link up for a while. So yeah.
That's awesome. That's so special to have people like that, that, you know, just get it. They get the buzz. They know they'll make it work as well. It's a precious thing, I think, when you're trying to establish those creative relationships. Yeah. Or maintain them as well. The track that we just listened to and the one that we're going to listen to, which are both new songs, can you tell us a wee bit about those? Where have they come from for you, or what have you been sort of, I guess, reflecting on through those tracks?
Yeah, both pretty dark. I don't mean to darken anyone's morning, but yeah, those are both about death very much. That one was the passing of my father in December of last year, and at the end of a tangi process you have a waerea, which is about, you know, shifting away any negative energy and bringing spaces back for the living.
Mm.
And so we were doing that to the car. You know, when you carry a body in a car, you have to say a waerea. It's a karakia. And I just realised how stupid it was that we're doing the waerea for the car, but we needed to do it for ourselves because of the things that we were carrying.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what that song is. It's me saying a karakia over myself.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the words are talking about ki runga ki raro, which appears in a waerea karakia, because you've got to clear the whole space, you know, above and below. But for me, it's about trauma carries in your mind and passes down to your kids. It also carries in your loins. It's passed through your DNA. It's imprinted on your DNA. So it's like, if I don't deal with trauma now, I will pass it on to my kids. So yeah, pretty heavy message. Thinking about, and I guess the answer for me is talking about it, writing songs, expressing it through waiata.
Yeah.
There are a lot of sounds of death in that song. And then coming on the radio and talking about it.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of spaces for Tāne Māori to express themselves. If music is one of the few ways, then that's what I'll do. And pōro are about expressing emotion, you know, so all of those things together.
Yeah.
So heavy for a Thursday morning.
Heavy, but I think also empowering. There's something about, like, as you say, talking about it, creating space for it through art, that actually also kind of counters the heaviness a little bit, because the heaviness is already there. Like, it's a thing, you know? This is actually just a vessel for talking or channeling that maybe into a space where you can understand it or kind of do what we're doing right now, discuss it and have a reason to be discussing it, because it can be hard to bring those things up.
Yeah.
I also think that that's something really special about your music, but also kind of about all political or kaupapa-driven dance music. There's something about creating something for a space where you know people will be moving and in a room with other people. That's a really interesting context to be delivering those messages into. Do you ever think about that when you are creating tracks, about that kind of like collective experience that might be associated with the song you're writing?
I think so. I think there's big kaupapa. I haven't made the t-shirts yet, but I want to make those t-shirts, decolonize the dance floor.
Hard.
You know, like, all this land is Māori land. Every space is a Māori space. You know, and when we as musicians or DJs are just playing American or British music, then that's just a colonial act on Māori land. So I guess that's, for me, is trying to think of, traditionally we had whare tāpiri, which were places for expression of dance and music, and it's like, well, we can still do that. We have clubs, we have events, we have events under bridges sometimes, you know, like we can, those can be spaces for decolonization and you know, spreading of kaupapa that are not just relevant to Māori but to all people of this land. So
yeah,
that's a big part of what I'm trying to do, is because I've grown up in urban spaces, in clubs, you know, that's a space that I can see that can be decolonized. We've done it with hip hop, we've done it with reggae, we can do it with, you know, breakbeats.
Hard.
Yeah, hard out.
The other song that you've brought us this morning, which is another new one, Ohaki. What can you tell us about this one?
So that was when Queen Elizabeth passed away, and it was, I guess my response was, who's gonna carry the issues now? You know, like 3 million acres of land were confiscated in the name of her ancestor. She was in her place for many decades. Our iwi around the motu have put in claims to the British Crown for the return of those lands that are still held in her name. And now she's dead. Who carries that issue now? So Ohaki is your deathbed speech, what you bequeath to those who come next. And I'm saying, what's the Ohaki of Elizabeth, Queen Elizabeth?
Hard.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So the second half of the song is taking the Ohaki of my ancestor, Te Riki Kawiti, who went to war against the British. And you know, he said, wait for the time that the sandfly nips at the pages of the treaty and then the people will rise up. And so I guess I play on that and say, maybe the Queen was the sandfly, the mosquito that nipped away at the covenant between our people. Yeah, so that's, yeah.
Far another, out, yeah.
Yeah, so lots of death songs there.
It feels like you're working through some similar themes here. Is this all going to be in a body of work at some point? Are you looking at another EP or an album or something?
Something between an EP and an album. Maybe an EP that I'm going to see if I get away with calling an album. Yeah, I'm trying to put together an album. I say that to you.
Album?
Yeah, album. Yeah, it's spelt differently. It's like an O with the little line across the top.
Yeah, sick.
Yeah. Trying to get that together for this year, vinyl release, local release. I think the electro stuff has been cool, and it's cool to be able to release stuff internationally, but I need to do this. I need to do the Māori stuff. I need to focus on this country. I need to stop thinking that I need praise from overseas. I don't. I just need to do me and do stuff that's relevant to us.
Yeah, hard.
So this won't have any electro on it. It'll just be my weird Māori breakbeat stuff. I don't know what you call that. I call it broken Māori, but I feel like I'll get cancelled for using that term. But, you know,
we just, can workshop that one,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, yeah, we'll have to wānanga that one out. Yeah. But yeah, so it's all just going to be that dark, spooky Māori breakbeat stuff. So,
well, yeah. I'm excited to hear it. You've just signed with Sun Return as well. Woo-hoo. Speaking of excellent local labels, shout outs to Zach.
Shout out, Zach.
How's it feel to be, I guess, part of that, like, whānau of artists who are involved with that project?
Rahere, you know, I was so FOMO to not be on Sun Return. Nah, it's like, you've got a kaupapa, I've also got a kaupapa, you've got a team, I'm all alone. And, you know, it was all, and you saw, like, when I came out, I knocked Baby Zion off the top spot, and then Amelia came in, and, you know, like, we were backing and forwarding. I'm like,
having that conversation, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like, dude, what do I need to do to get on Sun Return? And we were even, I was discussing with another cuz, like, what if we just rip off Sun Return? I love what they're doing. I mean, there's a lot of breakbeat artists in Aotearoa. I feel like they have a really strong kaupapa, and I was feeling quite excluded. And, you know, you can't go to a label and be like, oh,
please.
Yeah, so when Zach hit me up, I was like, yeah, hell yeah, let's do this.
Nice.
Yeah, and he's from West Tide. He's from my hood. Nice. Yeah. We have our meetings at Zeki's in Henderson, so we can go to the dollar dealers.
Perfect. That's what more could you want from a label artist relationship, really?
No, that's it, mate. Zeki's, exactly. Henderson, Cash Converters, it's all there, mate.
For anybody who is listening from Ototahi, I know we do have a few listeners. What's the details of the gig that you're going to be playing down there, Mokotron? When can people catch you doing your first ever live set?
Oh, yeah, see, I should have prepared that, eh? off the top of my head, I don't know, because, you know, everything's digital now.
You know what?
And I put my phone away.
We're going to listen to the song, and then I'll tell everybody on the other side. How about that?
Yeah, it's definitely in April.
Excellent. It's coming up really soon, we'll tell you on the other side of this track, brand new, unreleased yet, Ōhaki from Mokotron. Thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Tēnā koe, tēnā koutoua.
Oh, you got it there, Stella?
15th of April.
Hell yeah.
Oh, I was going to say 16th. Oh, yeah, 15th.
Kia ora, thanks for popping in.
Whenua ngaro e aue, ko koe tēnā ue ka.
That is new and unreleased from Mokotron. Ohakui is the name of that track. If you are in Ototahi or you've got mates down there, tell them to head along and see Mokotron live for the first time, doing a full live set with Babyface Killer and Keepsakes on the 15th of April. And if you are based in Tamaki, we'll just have to wait around a little bit longer and hopefully we'll get some live Mokotron sometime soon. But thank you so much to Mokotron for popping in this morning and having a kōrero. We'll see you again very soon.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.